You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode, which is being dropped on Monday, the 14th day of December 2020, we're going to be talking about Dave Dombrowski, the signing of the new president. See, the president or general manager, whichever one it is, it's the same role. You know what I'm talking about. He is the new president of baseball operations. That's right. He's going to be running the Phillies, and we're going to talk a little bit about what the Phillies need to do and why Dombrowski might be the right choice based upon the tides of baseball as they are right now. The show's available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And you're staying at home during these interesting times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. And hey, check out Locked On Red Sox with Gabrielle, the co-creator of Girl at the Game. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod and at Instagram, same handle. And if you want me to talk about any topic you want me to talk about, send it to me on Twitter at Sully Baseball for the Sunday request, where I do your requests for topics and things to discuss, especially here in the off season. By the way, here's a little preview of something I'm going to be doing on the podcast on Wednesdays. On Wednesdays, I'm doing What If Wednesdays, where I take a look at some of the times that baseball history zigged instead of zagged, when something could have happened that could have changed the scope of baseball. One tiny event, little tiny alteration here or there, what would that have meant moving forward? What would that have meant if the Red Sox got the last out of the 1986 World Series? What would have happened if the Dodgers kept Roberto Clemente? All these things are the types of stories and concepts that I'm going to be talking about on Wednesdays, all during the off season. Okay, the Phillies are in a strange boat because they have not put a winning product on the field since Ryan Howard collapsed in a heap at the end of the 2011 playoffs. The team that was supposed to be the greatest Phillies team of all time flopped in that 1-0 game against the St. Louis Cardinals, who went on to win the World Series. And the Phillies not only didn't recover, they haven't been above 500. And it's cost Charlie Manuel his job. They kept the core of the players around way too long. Howard, Utley, Rollins, Hamels, Carlos Ruiz, that whole bunch were stuck around before, you know, until they had virtually no trade value. And the Phillies made a bunch of high-profile moves, including the acquisition of Jake Arrieta, including the acquisition of Bryce Harper, including the acquisition of Andrew McCutchen, and boom. Not only have they not had any playoffs to show for it, they haven't been above 500. The Gabe Kapler manager situation has been nothing short of a disaster. He was let go and instead was brought in Joe Girardi, whose first time out in the Phillies was the truncated, there's that word again, truncated 2020 season, which we all have to take with a little bit of a grain of salt because you don't know if the Phillies would have been able to right the ship in the long haul. But as it stands, Dave Dombrowski is the new man in charge, the new president of baseball operations. When last seen, Dave Dombrowski was let go from the 2019 Red Sox less than 11 months after the Red Sox won the 2018 World Series, albeit a World Series that has a little bit of a stain on it because of the cheating scandal. Astros fans, please note that I said that. So what do the Phillies need to do? Well, they need to figure out what's going on with JT Realmuto. Are they going to bring him back or not? They need to deal with their catcher. Their rotation, there's talk they may trade Zach Wheeler. I don't quite understand why. You know, they got Aaron Nola, they got Zach Eflin. They definitely need another starting pitcher. Their Didi Gregorius is gone, and he's probably going to sign elsewhere. It means Gene Segura is probably going to be the new shortstop. That may or not be a great thing. They probably need another outfielder, but the main thing is they have the And did I mention the worst bullpen in baseball? Anybody who pitched for the Phillies bullpen last year needs to just go. Just get out of here. I mean, the bullpen was absolutely rancid for a team that had a couple of major league superstars on the team. And, Harper, of course, didn't have a great truncated season, but he hit a lot of power. He wound up having an OPS of 962 in the short season. And, there were some solid bats on there. And Nola had a nice season. Eflin was okay. Wheeler was okay. And you look at that bullpen. Hector Neris, Tommy Hunter. They brought in Brandon Workman from the Red Sox, and he was a disaster. I mean, everybody was just a disaster on that team. And they basically would be better off putting two sticks of dynamite in the bullpen, finding the detonator, going boom, and just having open tryouts. Just saying everybody who's been non-tendered, everybody who is available, everybody who sat out last year, everyone who's been cut loose from the minor leagues that have been, the minor league teams that have been disbanded, people who've been retired for 10 years, get a grave digger and see if you can dig up the body of Christy Mathewson. Anything, anything, convince Cliff Lee of coming out of retirement. I actually think the Phillies should reacquire Cole Hamels, who's going to be probably an inexpensive free agent. And if nothing else, for fans to say, like, hey, look at that. He was there the last time we were good. And also because he is a capable pitcher. And also because maybe this is the time when Cole Hamels is going to make the transition from all-star starter to quality reliever, which is probably going to happen at one point. So why not have that on the Philadelphia Phillies dime? But sign him, I'd say sign him to be a starter first. And when he makes that transition to the relief pitcher, you have him there too. Maybe pick up another ring in Philadelphia. I'm getting ahead of myself. What I'm saying is their bullpen is terrible. It is absolutely horrible. And that's the main thing that Dave Dombrowski has to do with the squad. If he picks up another solid starting pitcher out there and doesn't trade away Zach Wheeler, then they have a decent start. They have a decent top three. If they keep Realmuto or find a solution, and there's so many outfielders that are going to be out there on the scrap heap, slap something together, do some sort of platoon. Remember, the Yankees won a couple World Series with a revolving door at left field. You know, you can do that and be creative. And Joe Girardi loves to be creative, so give him the chance. Come on, go play. Be a maestro. But the bullpen. If you have a rotten bullpen, that's the feet of clay. That's the thing that can destroy this entire sculpture. And friends, they're handing the ball to Dave Dombrowski. Now look at Dombrowski is a capable man. Dombrowski is a good executive. Dombrowski has had a tremendous amount of success. But the one thing Dombrowski did not do in Detroit was win a World Series title. And the one thing that kept him from winning a World Series title was the fact that he couldn't put a decent bullpen together. They had Cy Young Award winners. At one point they had a rotation of Scherzer, Price, Verlander, Porcello. That's four. Was there a fifth Cy Young Award winner? I actually can't remember off the top of my head. They had unbelievable pitching, and Miguel Cabrera being an MVP, and putting together Hall of Fame numbers. And what killed them each time? The bullpen. If they had a mediocre bullpen against the Red Sox in 2013, they would have steamrolled to the World Series and probably would have smacked the Cardinals around. A good bullpen would have had them beat the Giants in 2012 or beat the Texas Rangers in 2011. And the bullpen collapsed in 2014 when they lost to Baltimore. This is a team that needs, the Tigers just needed mediocrity out of their bullpen, and they would have had a parade. And Dombrowski couldn't put it together. And now he has to do that in Philadelphia, his biggest challenge. But I'm not criticizing the signing of Dombrowski. He has to prove to the world he can put together a bullpen. And I think he's actually an intriguing choice because of the current landscape. NBA fans, listen up. The Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all this week, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and rookies to watch from draft guru Chad Ford. I'll be tuning in for the preview of the Celtics. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. I'm going to tell you why I think the Phillies signing of Dombrowski to run the team is smart based upon what's happening in the world of baseball and heading into the 2021 season. And I'm going to do it by referring to three films that I'm guessing you've all seen at least one of these films. Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, Wall Street with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen, or the Big Short with Brad Pitt and Ryan Gosling. Man, what a good-looking cast. And Steve Carell and Christian Bale that came out a few years ago. The reason I'm bringing those films up is all those films, and spoiler alert if you haven't seen them, all those films ended with the protagonist going against what everyone else was doing and becoming really, really rich when someone else got really, really broke. That they were betting one way while everyone else was going a different way, and they wound up profiting. Now, there's one thing you should know about your pal Sully. I am not an economist. I have never claimed to be an economist. This is not Locked On Economy. Don't come to me asking for economic advice. One thing those three movies had in common is I never really understood what was happening at the end. With the frozen concentrated orange juice at the end of Trading Places, at the Blue Star Airlines at the end of Wall Street, the housing market collapsing at the end of The Big Short, I never completely understood how the mechanisms of what was happening. And they have been explained to me. And they've been explained to me with graphs, with using, here, they did this, and then they did this, and they sold it for this, and then because of this, and the price went down, and they had more, and then the price shot up, and because they had more, I never quite understood. But I did understand the basic tenet of it was everyone was going left, they went right, and they wound up making more money because of that. That everyone else guessed wrong, they guessed right, and they profited from it. What does this have to do with Dave Dombrowski? Dave Dombrowski became a big figure in baseball development in the 1980s. Everything's going back to the 80s, isn't it? We're bringing back Tony La Russa. Hell, we're bringing back Joe Biden. But the fact of the matter is that he basically built a Montreal Expos team and turned them into a very competitive squad. And before that team bore its fruit and flourished, he was recruited to build the new Florida Marlins expansion team when they were formed for the 1993 season. And he had success in Florida when they wound up winning the World Series in 1997. Ultimately, he left Florida and he wound up going to the Tigers, and as I mentioned before, he took the Tigers team, which was pretty bad, saw them hit rock bottom with their 119 loss season, and then drafted and built their way up, and they got all the way, and they won a couple of pennants and became a mainstay in the postseason. And then in 2015, he was brought to help the Red Sox out, as they had won the World Series in 2013, but had a couple of rebuilding seasons afterwards. Actually, 2013 was also a rebuilding year. They just happened to win the World Series during a rebuilding year. And they wound up winning three straight division titles and a World Series title for their troubles. Now, a chief criticism a lot of people have had, besides the one I just made of his inability to slap together a bullpen in Detroit, is that he seems to have success when he has a tried-and-true method called spending a lot of money. And there's this thought process of how great is he if he wins when the team opens up the checkbook? And they said, here's the checkbook. Just spend. The Marlins had an okay farm system in 1997, but Wayne Huizenga, the owner of the Marlins, opened up the checkbook. And he had earlier brought in Gary Sheffield, but then he brought in Kevin Brown, who was an unbelievably great pitcher at that time. Al Leiter, who was a very good pitcher. Moises Alou, he brought in Bobby Bonilla, brought in Darren Dalton, brought in Devon White. You know, he put together a team that was designed for one purpose and one purpose only, which was to win that year, drive the value of the team up, sell it, and get out of town. And that's exactly what happened. They won the World Series, and by the time the parade was over, everyone was traded away. Yes, he drafted well and everything in Detroit, but they also made some high-profile moves, including the acquisition of Miguel Cabrera, including the acquisition of Prince Fielder, and making suddenly Detroit became a big player in the free agent market, in that weird sort of parallel universe that they became big spenders for a while. And big of it was because Mike Ilitch really wanted to see the Tigers win the World Series on his watch. He had seen the Red Wings win a bunch on his watch. He wanted to see the Tigers win on his watch. And they wound up going to the World Series. They couldn't get over the top because they didn't put together a effing bullpen. And what were the big things he did in Boston? Well, a lot of the big pieces were already in place. And he spent money to bring in David Price. He spent money to bring in Chris Sale. He spent money to bring in J.D. Martinez. And he also spent money to get rid of Pablo Sandoval. And he saw Hanley Ramirez wasn't working, so he spent money to get rid of him. That they paid Sandoval to go away. They paid Hanley Ramirez to go away. And the result was winning a shadowy, tainted 2018 World Series. And that was that. And so, it's been a long time since he built up a team like he did in Montreal, or even in Detroit for that matter. That was a decade and a half ago. What Dave Dombrowski seems to be is good at spending money. Now here's the deal, and here's why I brought those movies up. What's happening in all of baseball right now? It seems to be going in one direction. Notice I had an episode the other day that with Sean Sears, we were talking about the Cubs. The Cubs are acting like a small market club. The Red Sox are suddenly penny pinchers. And all these contenders are suddenly becoming teams that are watching their wallet. And now that the Dodgers have reached the pinnacle, they've reached the top of the mountain, is the urgency to spend their way to another World Series title as intense as the money keeps piling up? Are we going to be seeing a bunch of people who are going to be operating in a mindset that says, we can't spend lots of money? We can't be big spenders. And the Phillies have handed the car keys to a guy who spends like Brewster's Million, spends like Supermarket Sweep, spends just throwing money at all the problems. That's what he seems good at. So are the Phillies going to big short this? Are the Phillies going to look at a market that's filled flush with players and seeing, who's out there? Who's out there who's going to want to play? And knowing he has to put together a bullpen, knowing he has some major holes to fill, and knowing that he's in a division where the Atlanta Braves are very, very good. The Mets are probably going to be competitive. The Marlins made the playoffs last year. And the Washington Nationals, lest we forget, won the World Series the last time we played 162 games. And still have talent on that squad. Still have a lot of talent on that squad. So this is arguably the toughest division in baseball. But they also have one of the best managers in Joe Girardi. They also have some star power. They also play in a big market. Philadelphia is not a small market team. And 2021 will be the 10th anniversary of the last time they put a winning product on the field. That's a long time to be waiting to put a winner on the field. When you look up in some of the teams that you just say, well, this team always bad, that team's always bad, and you look up in a year and say, oh gosh, the Padres, White Sox, and Marlins all made the playoffs last year. That's right. That means the Mariners are the only team with a longer playoff drought than the Philadelphia Phillies. And maybe this is a subtle hint to say, we signed the guy who knows how to spend money. Maybe we're going to big short this. I could be wrong, but Philadelphia fans, if Dombrowski brings the Phillies a title, even one as short-lived and as disposable as the one the Marlins won in 1997, I have a feeling everybody in Pennsylvania, South Jersey, and Delaware, and all of Philly Nation will be quite fine with it. Thank you very much. So go to the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app and go to all the places where you get your podcasts. When you're staying at home during these interesting times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Talking about the Big Short and the Big Shorted Phillies, this is Locked On MLB for the 14th day of December 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.